Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
So yesterday I told you a new story. Well, in fact, Nebuchadnezzar told us a new story. I wept through it because I found it the saddest thing ever, about a regent honey-eater birds in captivity that are losing their bird song. I know, I'm finished from it. To fill us in on these issues, we want to chat this morning to Dr. Melissa Whitecross. She is Landscape Conservation Programming Manager at Bird Life South Africa. A very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Thanks so much for having me.
That was just the saddest story I've heard in a while, and I'm on radio. We hear sad stories. But this bird, these birds losing their bird song.
Yes,
weep.
So these are sort of melodic songbirds, and they learn their songs from other birds. And unfortunately, with more of them declining in the wild, there's fewer and fewer individuals to teach these birds that song. So we're really seeing almost increased extinction rates because these birds can't find each other to teach them their own culture, essentially.
How do you reverse that? Is there a way to reverse?
So some very clever scientists in Australia, as you mentioned earlier, are doing a captive breeding program. And we've seen this successful in a number of other species around the world. But essentially what they do is they take young birds into captivity, raise them under ideal conditions. As we know, birds in the wild have a much tougher route to being successful breeding individuals. So they help strengthen these birds, keep them in good conditions, get them to be fit individuals. And while they're in captivity, they teach them the correct songs and then release them out into the wild to be able to interact with other wild individuals and hopefully pass on that song to those wild individuals and thereby increase the population breeding probabilities. But we know that these birds face a very tough world out there. They've lost over 75% of their natural habitat. So in these little fragmented islands of eucalypt bushveld, it's really tough for them to eke out a living. But hopefully with this captive breeding population going, they'll be able to keep supplementing the wild birds and secure what little wild habitat is still left for them to bring the species back from the brink.
You're right. It's almost like one of the most millennial stories I've ever heard, is that we've got to take these birds and teach them, because they've kind of just don't know how to do this anymore, teach them how to survive in the real world. But it's really quite a sad story. Is this becoming a more common thing? Is this unique to this particular species?
So the songbird aspect of it, where they're teaching these birds their own songs, is probably more unique to these regent honey eaters, which are famed for their song. And a lot of them were actually caught into the pet trade to be songbirds in cages at people's houses. But the captive breeding program is something we've seen for many, many years. I think the probably the most famous example of that is the pandas in China, being brought in from those bamboo forests and bred in captivity to help bolster those populations. And this is where we rely a lot on establishments like zoos and animal rehabs to help us bolster these wild populations that are really under threat from a lot of our activities as humans. So it's definitely something that is gaining more popularity and more species to try and keep these animals alive as their wild populations start to fail.
Tell us about birds in Johannesburg. Has there been a shift? Are we reasonably stable because of the number of trees and the vegetation that we have?
So Johannesburg's a really interesting case study. If you were standing in Johannesburg in the early 1800s, you probably would have been standing in a grassland, not a forest as we know it today. And we know Joburg's the biggest man-made forest in the world.
Right.
So if you're something like a secretary bird, which is one of the birds that I work on and relies on open grasslands to survive, we no longer have secretary birds in Johannesburg because we've changed the habitat on them completely. But what that's done is allow other species like your woodpeckers, your barbets, even the hardy-dars to come in and take advantage of this new biome that we've essentially created for them with our manicured lawns, our swimming pools, and our big trees. So definitely with changes in sort of ecosystem structure, some species will lose out and some species will gain. But in the new Johannesburg, the sort of modern day Johannesburg that we all know with our big trees, our birds are pretty stable. They're not doing too badly. The only area I'd say that we do have some concern with our common birds is our insectivores. So birds that feed on insects and other small invertebrates. globally, we've seen a massive decline in insect availability, and that's linked to people using major scale pesticides and other poisons to try and limit the number of insects around. And that's definitely had a knock on effect for our insectivorous birds, even here in South Africa.
When I was young, I don't really remember hardy-tars being much of a feature.
Yes,
we didn't have Zoom calls, so they couldn't really interrupt us. But, but did I just not notice them? Or do we have an increased population in hardy-dars?
So I'm not sure how old you are, Howard, but in the early 80s.
I'm very, very early 50s, but I look younger.
Okay, fantastic. So no, when you were a child, there definitely weren't that many hardy-dars here in Johannesburg. In the early 80s, we had a very, very bad drought on the eastern side of the country where most of our hardy-dars were. And with that drought, a lot of the available water sources along the eastern front of the country, which wasn't that developed at the time, a lot of those birds were forced inland where we had a lot of things like swimming pools and man-made dams. And once they moved into the sort of greater Gauteng region, they realized this was hardy-dar paradise and a whole lot of them never left. So those birds established their own population. And what you see today with our very prevalent hardy-dars is a result of that natural event back in the 80s.
The other question I wanted to ask you is we have recently been adopted. I think they are crested barbets. Very, really, very beautiful birds, but quite irritating because they found a one-way mirror, one-way glass, and spend most of the day pecking at it. First of all, it's a couple of questions. Are they, do they live in couples? Because there's always two of them. And what are they doing with this mirror?
So crested barbets do live in couples, and they live inside the cavities of trees usually. So you'll see those blogs you can buy for barbets at the nursery. That's to sort of mimic a tree cavity, so a hole inside a tree. Mm-hmm. And they're very territorial. So your birds probably have a nest somewhere in your garden. Mm-hmm. And when they fly past your window, which is probably acting like a bit of a mirror, they suddenly see another two birds in their territory, and their immediate response, as with many other birds, is to go for those birds and try and chase them off. So by them pecking at the mirror, they're saying, hey, this is my territory, get out of here, I don't want you here. So, that's probably what they're doing, is trying to defend their territory. And you can either put up something just to make it a little bit less reflective for them and protect your windows, or hopefully, as the breeding season starts to wind down, they'll get a little bit less reactive as we move into winter.
The truth is, it's awesome to see because they are magnificent birds, and to have them living there, even if they are pecking away like that, is really is actually quite lovely. I don't really have a problem with that at all. One of our listeners says, Shabbat Shalom, Howard. What about an Indian miner that has migrated from KZN to Gauteng? Yes, we had this in our family as well. Is that one of our family members actually couldn't go to the car because there was an Indian miner that didn't like her?
Oh no! So Indian miners, they were brought in with many of the slaves that were brought over from mainland India in the height of the colonial era. And a lot of those birds were kept as songbirds like the regent honey eaters, but many were set free and escaped and eventually established populations along the east coast of South Africa. And that slowly spread across the country to the prevalent minor population that we now know today. They are very aggressive birds. They're very intelligent birds. And as we know, if they do take a disliking to someone, they will probably go after them if they do see them. So I'm not sure what your family member did to annoy that Indian miner, but clearly something had gone wrong there.
Well, it is absolutely, it's amazing. But, and I do think we're very blessed in Johannesburg to have the bird life that we do. I really would recommend that people just pay a little bit more attention to what they're seeing around them and less attention to what is going on their computers. We do need to leave it there. Dr. Melissa Whitecross, Landscape Conservation Program Manager at BirdLife South Africa. Wonderful conversation. Thank you.